of 19. We got out of 18 and 17, 18. Hallelujah. And we're in chapter 19. Now, Eric texted me today and asked me about, what did you ask, brother? You asked me something about the tribulation and all that. The day of the Lord, over in the book of Joel, you take your Bible, look in the book of Joel, hold your place in Revelation. And when the Bible talks about the day of the Lord, it's when the Lord comes back, and not just, not the rapture, but the second advent. If you know your Bible, you know the Lord's coming back. Amen?
Amen.
He's coming back. And you say, when? Well, and the whole prophecies of the Bible, all the way from the Old Testament, all the way through the Old Testament, is about the day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ gets his rightful place, when he's sitting on the throne. And one day he's going to sit on the throne, amen? We're going to have righteous judgment, thank God. And if you're saved, you're going to go, we'll go out of here before the judgment of Israel and the nations of, around the world. We'll go out of here in the rapture, according to the word of God. But in Joel chapter 3, check this out. It's building up, man. The world's going crazy. You see all this stuff going on, the weather. You got this, all this stuff going on, hurricanes and earthquakes, and then people going crazy, shooting up places and down in, where was it, in Nevada. A guy killed 59 people and 525 wounded. What a senseless thing, man. What in the world? And they try to say this, it's guns, it's guns. No, it's mental people, mental problems, unclean spirits, man. That's what the problem is. And some people, I realize, they shouldn't have a gun. Amen. They shouldn't have it all. But, you know, that's the Second Amendment. What you have to do, the way you get rid of the Second Amendment, you go under the United Nations. That's what they want to do. And but anyway, pray for the victims. Pray for the families. They're out there, and they get shot, and the guy had an advantage point up there on the 30th-some floor and shooting down on people. And I thought, my God, man. Here we're trying to get life, give people, make sure they get saved, get going to heaven. And there's people just trying to send people to hell, right? I mean, just trying to kill people. And every day we live, people are dying by every second. Somebody's dying. And I mean, they're being shot around the world. Probably every second, maybe five people or more are dying. And we want to get people saved. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure people go to heaven. I don't care who they are. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what background they are. I want to make sure they're saved. I want to make sure they go into heaven. Religion ain't going to do it. And that's what a lot of the war's over is over religion. And you're going to find that the Bible says in Revelation 19, when the Lord comes back, he's coming back to fight. The Lord's coming back to fight. The first time he came like the lamb. They beat him. They punched him. They mocked him. They made fun of him. And then the second time he come, ain't nobody going to lay a hand on him.
Amen.
Ain't nobody going to smack him around. Ain't nobody going to punch him in the face. Ain't nobody going to beat a crown of thorns in his head. He's coming back. The Bible says in Exodus, the Lord is a man of war.
Amen.
And he's coming back. And why? Because if Jesus Christ came like he did 2,000 years ago, the world would still crucify him. They would still kill him if they could. And they would take him out, hang him on a cross if they could. I mean, you say, how do you know? I deal with people all the time. They don't hear nothing about God. They don't hear nothing about Jesus Christ. They don't. And I mean, they've taken our nation. Why our nation's going the way it's going? It's because we're taking in God. We want to get God out of our school, and now we got metal detectors. You take God, the Bible, all that stuff. You have to have armed guards sitting in the school system because you take God and you take the Bible out. I mean, they take that out, man. They prohibit God for showing up in the school. They try to tell our kids that you can't take a Bible to school, but you can, you know, that you can take all satanic books. You can wear all kinds of satanic junk, and you can do all kinds of crazy stuff like that. But man, when it comes to the Word of God, why? Because the devil is the god of this world, running things. The Bible tells us that he's the god of this world, and we know that. But look in Joel chapter 2. All prophecies in the Old Testament was pointing to a day when the Lord's coming back. And all you people read the Old Testament, they say, I don't understand this stuff. I can't figure this stuff out. I'm gonna tell you something. What it's pointing to, it's pointing to a day. There's seven judgments that we preach on, and my sister asked about judgments this morning, this little while ago. Now I preach a message called the Seven Judgments. I got it from Dr. Upman years ago, and one of them, the first judgment was Calvary. Jesus Christ was judged for our sin, took our sin upon him on Calvary. And the second judgment is a self-judgment. We're supposed to judge ourselves when it comes to the Lord's Supper table. We're supposed to judge ourselves on a daily basis. When this thing came out, when people started saying you don't have to confess your sins, and you don't have to confess your sins, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. The devil's behind something like that to try to get people so backslid and so much mess in their life and so much filth in their life that they don't confess it, they don't get clean. And when the Bible tells us that in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when a man says, I don't believe in you have to confess your sins, you find a dishonest guy. You find a guy that wants to live in sin and wants to do what he wants to do, and he don't have to worry about confessing anything. And that's just a lie from the pits of hell. And another judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. You and I are going to be judged. We're going to be judged. And that judgment seat of Christ is right here on the chart here. The judgment seat of Christ is taking place right there. And that judgment seat of Christ is 1 Corinthians chapter, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'll get to Joel here in a second, but I'm getting ahead of myself. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at here. And if you're writing down, you can write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and at verse 11. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, so you're a Christian is building something. This is for a Christian. Now you're building something. And it says gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. I believe this, that every Christian, you're going to be standing before the Lord, and there's going to be a fire in front of you. All your works, everything you've ever done in this life since you've been saved is going to be in the fire. And what's going to surface is going to be what you've done for Jesus Christ. It's going to be gold, silver, precious stone. Say, why is that so important? Because, I mean, down here, people killing each other for it. Up there, they walk on the streets of gold. But up there, it's to be able to say, Lord, I made something. I did something in my life. I just didn't live for myself. I live for you. I've tried to do something for you. And the Bible says, talks about, God's going to give us crowns. And then we talk about stones in our crown, all that, different types of stones. And it's going to be a reward for saints of God. And I was likening it to a military thing. In a way, it's likened to when the Lord's going to inspect the troops. He's going to walk down and say, look at you in the eyes. And he's going to say, did you love me? And like he did with Thomas, he came up to when he resurrected, and he came into the upper room, and he stopped and looked at Thomas. He said, Thomas, look at my hands. Look at my side. You said you wouldn't believe unless you seen it. I mean, the Lord's going to look at us and say, did you love me? Do you have anything to show for your life? And we're going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ if most Christians are going to stand there empty-handed. I don't want to be there empty-handed. I want to have something to show for my life that I did something for Jesus Christ. And I lived for myself for years, and Christians right now are living for themselves. But look in 1 Corinthians 3 again. Look what it says. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Something coming out of the fire you're building. You're building something with. So I've heard people say, well, you're building a mansion. I hope not. It'd be an incomplete mansion. There'd be so many, it'd look like a bomb went off in heaven. And the mansions are going to be already prepared. But you're doing something. You're building something. Maybe it's your clothing. Maybe it's your clothing, what you're wearing. In the military, you see these guys got different type of military services, but you see people wearing different type of uniforms. I wonder if the Lord's going to give different type of uniforms for those that serve and those that didn't. And then there's going to be some kind of rewards or some kind of medals or something, but a crown. He said, what good is a crown? Well, you'll be able to give it back to him. And I think it's going to be something where you're going to be noticed whether you serve God or not. It's going to be noticed. And there's the 21st century Christians, everybody living for themselves. All we want to do is just take it easy. And folks, I have to get on myself because I want to take it easy too. We all want to take it easy. And you don't want to open your mouth sometimes. You don't want to witness somebody. And we all do. We all have that flesh, it fights us. Our flesh is our worst enemy. If any man's works shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That's where they say some Christians are going to get there by the skin of their teeth. They'll be saved, and that's about it. They live for themselves. Know you not that you're a temple of God. So the Bible tells us that we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. That's in Romans, I think, Romans chapter, 14? Anybody got that? Romans 14? 2 Corinthians 5:17? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There it is. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Then look at the next verse. Knowing the terror of the Lord. The terror of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord begin in wisdom, begin in knowledge and understanding. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing that if a man stands before God without Jesus Christ, he's going to go to hell. Justin called me tonight and he said, there's a guy asking for you to come talk to him in Smyrna. He texted me his address. He's a Vietnam veteran, seen action in Vietnam. He said he wants you to come talk to him. I said, I'll definitely do it. I'm going to go tomorrow night. Then I had and then today I had Dave Hebert call me up and say, hey, there's a guy at work here needs to get his Class A license. He wants to know if you can go with him because I got a Class A license. I said, yeah, I'll tell him I'll meet tomorrow morning, 7:30. He has an appointment at 8 o'clock. I'm going to witness to him too. I want to see him get saved. But anyway, judgment seat of Christ. Let's go back to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Check this out. The day of the Lord. Here's the day of the Lord. Look at verse 16 of Joel chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord also shall what?
Roar
out of Zion. You know what the Lord's called? He's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And Judah, he says, is the lion's whelp over in Genesis chapter 49. That's what the prophecy that was given by Jacob. And it says, the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and earth shall shake. And I said it Sunday, you know, when I was a little kid, when it thundered, my mother would say, the Lord's talking, the Lord's talking. And whenever, you know, people get fearful when thunder and lightning, or if they're in a bomb, you know, in a war and they're being bombarded, they're crying out to God. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. It says, so shall ye know that I am the Lord, your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her anymore. It shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine. That's not ripple. It's not, you know, any other kind of wine that they're selling. New wine, the Bible tells you new wine is found in a cluster. Isaiah chapter 64, 6. Whenever the Bible talks about new wine, when Jesus Christ made wine, it was when you took grapes and you squeezed it out, it's called new wine. And then that's the Bible definition. Isaiah 64. Take your Bible, look in Isaiah 64, 6. Look what it said. Isaiah 64, 6. New wine is found in the cluster. Isaiah 64, 6. I'm getting way off track here. No, that's not it. 65:8. There it is. It says, 65:8, Isaiah 65:8. Thus saith the Lord, as new wine is found in the cluster, one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So shall I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. The Surgeon General came out years ago, said if a person drinks a glass of wine, they have less chance of having a heart attack and all that stuff. So people started, I'm going to drink wine. I'll drink wine. But they don't tell you the same thing as in grape juice. Grape juice looks just like blood. So, all right, let's go back to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. There's different judgments. There's just different judgments. and judgment seat of Christ. Now, Eric asked me, he said, when the day of the Lord, when is that? And she asked me, when is the white throne judgment? The white throne judgment will be, here's a 7-year tribulation. Then you got a 1,000-year millennial. The white throne judgment shows up right there. Revelation chapter 20. The white throne judgment. So you need to mark that in your Bible. Have that in your mind. So when the white throne judgment, so who's at the white throne judgment? The people that made it through the tribulation and went through the millennial, and then then the Bible says the dead are brought up. And that's where you can use that verse where it's in Revelation 20, go to Revelation 20, look what it says. It says, if a man's not saved, if you're here tonight, you're not saved. You die twice. You die twice. You'll die physically, and then you die spiritually. So I told this guy at the hospital the other day, I said, if you don't get saved, you die twice. The first thing, you die physically, your body's laying there, you're dead. Then you wake up in hell. That's the second death. It says, whosoever was not found, look in Revelation 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Look at 14. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. You need to underline that in your Bible. Death and hell. See, hell is a holding place. It's like the county jail. And when I've been in the county jail, and then when I was brought up before a judge, and then the judge put me in the big house, state penitentiary. So then what happens is you get held in a county jail. Hell is like the county jail. And then lake of fire is like the prison. Never, ever get out. Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. I tell you what, I preach funerals. I preach on this. And people get mad. They get upset. They walk out. And they say, I don't want to hear this stuff. I said, man, I'll tell you what, one day you will. One day you will. And I don't get mad at them. When they walk out, I pray, God, save them, Lord. Don't let them. I was just telling Miss Debbie tonight, I said, her husband, he's studying. He's trying to find out. He's close. I believe he is. I think he's searching. And nobody in their right mind want to die and go to hell. Nobody. I don't care what they say. That guy shot all them people. You say he deserved to go to hell. Yeah, he does. And maybe he did. I don't know. You say, could a guy like that get saved? Yeah, he could. You think about, and then he took the gun and shot him and said, well, he went to hell because he killed himself. No, that ain't the reason why he went to hell. If he rejected Jesus Christ, he went to hell. Amen. But I say this, a saved man, a person that loves, that's right with God, he wouldn't want to kill nobody. Amen. He wouldn't want to see nobody die and go to hell. Amen. You guys sitting up there, just shooting people down, mowing people down. And then the guy thinking he's doing, I don't know what he would think, but then he takes a gun and shoots himself. He's up. Where do you think he woke up? He thought he was getting delivered from something. He ended up in hell. After these things, chapter 19, Revelation. It seemed like every night we go to sleep or every weekend, something else is coming up. And it's more and more and more. And the Lord said, in the last days, perilous times should come. Perilous times, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're living in perilous times. Men should be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a formula of godliness, but denying the power thereof. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. People say, heaven's going to be a vacant place. Not very many people going to be there. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people there. Millions upon millions are there. And saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. See that thing? There's seven judgments we preach, but there's many judgments. And there's, like I said, but when it comes to the white throne judgment, that's at the end of millennial. But when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, that takes place in the middle of the tribulation because we get to go there. When it comes to self-judgment, that's what we do now. We confess our sins, and we get things right with God. That's what we're supposed to do. When it comes to Calvary, Jesus Christ took our judgment. He suffered hell for us. And we went through that last week or week before last where Jesus Christ went to hell. He didn't just He went to hell for you. He went to hell for me. He went to hell for everyone. So they wouldn't have to die and go to hell. What a thing, man. What a thing. Would a man reject Jesus Christ and say, I'd rather go to hell? Oh, yeah. When you get there, you wouldn't want to be there. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore. That's chapter 17, 18. The great whore is the Roman Catholic Church, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. Up in heaven they're shouting. Up in heaven they're praising God. Down on earth they're mourning and crying and screaming and throwing sackcloth in the air, throwing sackcloth on themselves and throwing dust in the air and all that crazy stuff. Again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Isn't that something that people don't believe in hell? They say, the Jehovah's Witnesses say, hell is just a grave. I said, when was the last time you seen any smoke coming out of a grave? In the lake of fire. And it says the smoke of their torment is sending up forever and ever. And Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't have an answer for that. Well, I mean, man, they believe that you go to the grave, that's it. You're dead like a dog. No, man, a man's got you got an eternal soul. And you're going to live forever somewhere. You got an eternal soul. You got a body, soul, and spirit. Whenever I preach funerals, I always say this. I say, you know this brother here, this man right here? I said, if I jumped on him, drug him out, threw him down on the ground, took him out of the casket, he wouldn't feel a thing. Y'all get upset. I said, but he wouldn't feel a thing. Why? He ain't there. That's just a shell. He's somewhere. Somewhere. Heaven or hell. If a guy's saved, he's with the Lord. He's rejoicing. He'd care less what you do with his carcass. Care less. All right, look at this. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore that did corrupt the earth with her fornication, have avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. So up in heaven, they're rejoicing and worshiping God and praising God. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Jordan was telling me today, he said, Papa, we was driving up the road. He said, Papa, he said, today I was in the bathroom. I got a skylight in the bathroom. He said, I looked up at the skylight, and I looked out, and I said, God, I love you.
Amen.
I know you hear me. I love you.
Amen.
I said, that's good, boy. That's good. Tell the Lord you love him all the time. Tell him. Amen. That's good.
Amen.
We're his children. We ought to tell him we love him. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. If you love me, you'll keep my sayings. You'll keep my commandments. The voice came out of the throne saying, I praise our God for ye servants, of all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were a voice of great multitude, as a voice of many waters, as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I mean, omnipotent, he's all powerful. He's all powerful. And it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. So the church, the people that are saved, is the wife of Jesus Christ. So who's the wife of God the Father? God the Father's wife is Israel. And because he tells you in Hosea, he said, I divorced him. I divorced her. And he said, but I'll take her back. And he tells Hosea to go out and get a prostitute. And was it Hosea?
Jonah.
No, it wasn't Jonah.
Gomer,
yeah, Gomer. Gomer. What a name. What's your name? What's your wife's name? Gomer. Oh, man. How did I get off on that? But anyway, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife had made herself ready. The marriage of the Lamb showed you over in Corinthians where Paul said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin. And we went through Matthew chapter 25. There's 10 virgins. That five go in, five they don't. They go into the marriage. So the marriage that's during the tribulation period. That's Matthew 25. But the marriage of the Lamb is the wife is the church, those that are saved, those saved people. I don't care what, I don't care who, where they're from. I don't care if they're Muslim. If they're saved, they're in the church. If they're saved, I don't care if they're Presbyterian, Episcopalian, or Catholics. And the Bible tells you in Revelation 18, it says, come out of her, my people. And the Lord tells them, come out of the Catholic Church, come out of that mess. So I'm not a Baptist brider. And a Baptist brider would say nobody could be part of the bride of Christ. They can be friends of the bridegroom unless they're Baptist. That's a lie. Don LaDuc just passed away. And Don LaDuc, he's a good man. And Capital Baptist is a good church down in Dover. But they're Baptist briders. And Don LaDuc's son, his name's Luke. And Luke used to be Johnny Pope's, not the Pope, but Johnny Pope. He was a Baptist preacher. Luke used to be his assistant pastor. And Luke they laid him off, and he got mad and went back to school and became a Presbyterian preacher. Presbyterians, they believe in they're Calvinists, and they're Calvinistic. But he is saved. Luke is saved. And they wouldn't let Luke preach at their church because he was a Presbyterian preacher. He said, would you let Luke preach here? As long as he preached salvation straight, I'd let him preach here. As long as he preached it right. And I would definitely preach too. I would say something. But Friday is the Don LaDuc's funeral, and Luke's supposed to be preaching it. I've known Luke ever since a little boy. And I know Luke's saved. He might have changed some of his belief, but he still believes in salvation by grace. Through faith. He's a Calvinist, but he still believes that. But the Bible says this in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him that for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife have made herself ready. So whenever a woman knows she's going to get married and she's preparing, we got some ladies that's preparing and they're engaged. Lisa's engaged. Kylie's engaged. So what these girls do is they prepare for the wedding. They prepare themselves. They want this wedding. So what happens is the church is supposed to be preparing for the Lord to come and to be united with the Lord. But the church today, they're not preparing. They're not preparing for the Lord to come and be united with him. And Paul's saying, he said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to the Lord. And we got saved people that's not preparing themselves for the Lord to come back, and then a wedding takes place. Now, I've had some crazy weddings, folks. I've had some crazy weddings. And I think about some weddings I've had where people got in arguments during the rehearsal. And I try to make it light. I try to make it, light and laugh about things. But, man, some girls get so wound up about this thing. And that's why I'd rather preach a funeral than preach a wedding. Because girls get so wound up, they think they turn into Princess Di or something. They got to spend all this money. They got to spend all the, act like a... some kind of princess, and I know that's their day when their day they've been looking for all their life. But the church is not going to pay for anything. The Lord is. But I thought about this. Wouldn't that be something at the marriage supper? Check it out. At the judgment seat of Christ, what our rewards is going to prepare for the marriage. The rewards that we have is going to pay or prepare for the marriage. Because, when people get married these days, it costs a lot of money. Now, money in heaven is not no issue at all. But it could be something that we have to present the Lord to or with. Or maybe there's some token or something that he's going to wear, which it'd be crowns, that at the wedding that we give to him. And that's why we go to the judgment seat of Christ before the marriage. See, we don't go to the marriage and then the judgment seat of Christ. We go to the judgment seat of Christ first, Then we go to the marriage. And that's the way the Lord set it up. So there's something that we're going to have. Maybe it's something that we're going to wear as the bride of Christ. Now, I told you before, I've always had, when I first got saved, I had a hard time thinking about me being the bride of Christ or our church. I said, man, I've had a hard time me thinking about that. I'm not a woman. Amen. But it's not the physical sense that we think of with a man and a woman. We're going to be one with the Lord, but it ain't going to be like the physical relationship to be able to produce children. It ain't that tight. It ain't that sexual thing. So people get this idea, and that's why I had a hard time with. I thought, man, ain't no way I'm that way. But it's something different. But can you imagine what we've done here is what was, maybe it's the ornament that we have? Because the Bible says this. It says this, that every one of us have a part in the body. Some of us are the ear. Some of us are the hand or the fingers. Now, Eric, he just cut the tip of his finger off. But some of us are different parts of the body. We represent the body of Christ. We have a part in that body. So whatever you've done for the Lord represents that part of that body. It says some parts are more comely than others. It's crazy. I'm saying it could be. It could be. But if I'm a part of the body of Christ, I want to be the best part of the body that I can be, or the body of the church. I want to be the best part of it that I can be. Some people don't care. They don't care, you know why? And I think some of them people are going to be boogers in the nose or something. Hemorrhoids or something. No. I know some Christians are hemorrhoids. But look on down. The marriage. See, God's looking forward to the day when his son gets married. When he gets his rightful place. So chapter 19, what we're reading here is when Jesus Christ gets what's coming to him. He gets what's coming to him. After what he suffered, after what he did, what he paid for. And now he's getting what's coming to him. And then he's going to come back with a mighty army and take over the earth for 1,000 years. And then the Bible talks about New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. That's for the church. It's like a bridal suite. It's for the church. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You say, as long as I have a log cabin on the backside of Glory Land, I'll be happy. No, you won't. You're going to get there and realize, you're going to realize, hey, I should have done something with my life for him. I should have done something. So we'll get into more of this next time. We'll get into this. Anybody got any questions? Any questions on anything? Anybody got any questions? Prepare yourself.